Before we begin, let me just say, it's hot. It's going to be hot. And I am going to be dressing as casually and comfortably as I can until October. And I invite you to do the same. I will try my best to be professional while I'm doing it. Hence the scarf. And that's it. For those of you who are not from Central Texas that are watching us online, for those of you who live in climes that are a little more kind in the temperature, you might not understand that, but I'm not apologizing, so there you go. I really don't want to be giving this talk today. I don't want to talk anymore about dead children. Don't want to do it. My hair's a little bit on fire today, so buckle up. Next month, no, 2 weeks from now, I celebrate my ordination 30 years ago. And I have, thank you. I have studiously avoided politicizing my position in the pulpit. Unfortunately, politics and policies have intruded upon our lives like never before in my lifetime. And so the soul searching that I have to do is around what to say, how to lead, how to be a servant, and how to bring social action into something that's larger than political stances. That has to be okay, because I have to trust Spirit's guidance in what I do, as do you. So please keep in mind that anything I say from the pulpit is a suggestion. One of the things that I love about Unity is that it encourages people to ask questions and find their own divine guidance for what is best for them. So what I say today and any other day is for you to examine for yourself and to find the truth for yourself. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are broken again. We live in a state in which funding for public education puts us 38th in the country. We live in a state in which funding for mental health care puts us at the bottom. We can do something about that. And we can encourage our children that are afraid to go to school, that when they are of voting age, to vote their consciences and what drives them. And until they can do so, we'll take care of that. Can I get an amen? I wrote down some things that bother me the most. False equivocation, moral superiority, cognitive dissonance, and laying blame. Those things get under my skin. Do you know why they do? Because I do it. In order for us to put an end to those things, we must examine where we're doing them in our lives. Where are we falsely equivocating. Where is our cognitive dissonance? Where is our blame laying? Doesn't it just matter to this issue? It matters to any issue in our lives. Where are we doing it? Because in the end, we're responsible for ourselves. And if we're going to change the collective consciousness, we change it in ourselves first. Yes?
Amen.
This is something we've been talking about over and over again. That's what you've heard in our teachings as long as you've been around Unity. We have to do it ourselves. Salvador Ramos was born into poverty, probably abuse, and he was bullied all his life. That's not an excuse, but those are reasons. And so we turn it back to ourselves. Where do we bully? I see plenty of bullies on social media. Standing behind the anonymity of a screen, going, na 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 na. So if we're bullying in our thoughts and actions, then we're guilty. And folks, this is a hard truth. Like I said, I don't want to be giving this talk. Do not. But we always have to bring it back to ourselves. We always do. Where do we do these things? Where do we call it out in others? Not with fists, but with words of gentle guidance that come from the deepest part of ourselves. Today, our lesson, this was supposed to be Reverend Maggie Alderman. Our beloved Maggie was supposed to be here today. She got COVID, decided she couldn't fly, which we're glad that she's taking care of herself. So I wanted to stay with Maggie's theme, and then Uvalde happened when we're still getting over what happened in Buffalo. And let me just say for the record, we've talked about this for a long time in this church among our leadership. There's a lot of talk right now about hardening our schools against attacks like this, but where are we going to stop? Are we going to harden our church? Are we going to harden every church, every synagogue, every mosque? Are we going to harden supermarkets? Are we going to harden outdoor concerts? Are we going to harden shopping malls? There's a different answer. And until there's a credible threat to this property, we're not going to arm ourselves, okay? Until there's a credible threat, we're not going to do that. We will live responsibly. We'll tie up our camel and trust in God. That's what we'll do. So today, as we talk about sacred ground, it's really important that we are not only acknowledging that everywhere we stand is sacred ground, but we're also acknowledging that we are grounded in that sacredness. It's a little play on words. That's what we have to be grounded in our sacredness right now, and I'm going to get to how we do that. But I had a little revelation that stayed with me, and it came to me when I was under nitrous at the dentist office for about 3 hours on Tuesday. It's a great place to get spiritual revelations. And I remembered thinking, oh, wow, that is so cool. I hope I remember it when I'm, you know, fully alert again. And I did. And I thought what came to my mind when talking about sacred ground, this is an imperfect metaphor, so bear with me here. We live in a temporal world, but I was thinking about places like, anybody been to England and seen Coventry Cathedral? Coventry was bombed during the war, and what stands are the bones of Coventry. And most of you, if you haven't been there, have seen photos of Notre Dame before and after the fire that happened a few years ago. And the bones are still standing there. And in the midst of renewing that, they have discovered all this stuff under where the cathedral was built that they didn't know was there, antiquities. But we know that eventually all the buildings, you know, will crumble into obscurity, either by nature or by human hands. But the bones, I think about the bones of those cathedrals, and it doesn't matter right now what happens to the exterior of them. They remain strong structures that are rooted on the earth. And that's who we are. We are in us, within us, are the bones of our own cathedral. And we'll have a lot of circumstances that occur in our lives that will scar the exterior. But we remain grounded in what we were originally created as. Can you stick with me on that? Did I go too far? Did nitrous really just totally mess up that? Just stay with me on this, because we all experience emotional, physical, and mental changes throughout our lives. But the essence of who we are is from the stars. It's where we started and it's where we're going. It's where we are right now. So that's where we stand every day. And literally, if you're having trouble thinking of this at any given point, just get your feet on the floor, on the dirt, wherever you're standing, get your feet there. And that physical representation will remind you of what your spiritual orientation is. Grounded in God, sacred wherever you go. So now, how do I tie together the outrage and sorrow that we've been feeling this week, left over from the time before, and the time before that, and the time before that, and bring that into the idea of sacred ground? And what came to me is the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. It's in the book of Matthew. And I started doing a little bit of research about the Beatitudes, looking at the Greek translation of the Beatitudes and the original Aramaic that we believe is the dialect that Jesus spoke, the language that Jesus spoke. So I want to share with you some of these and see what grabs your attention as who you might be. Pick one or more. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Greek, the translation would be, enriched are those who live in humility and gratitude, for the reign of God is theirs. That's what poor in spirit means, humility and gratitude. Whole and complete are those who live with a sense of dependence and vulnerability. The will of God is present in their lives. The message is, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God. And in Aramaic, blessed are those who realize that breath is their first and last possession. Theirs is the I can of the cosmos. The second one is, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's today. How lovely that our daily word is about comfort, written months and months ago. In Greek, fortunate are those who lament. They will hear God's voice. And in Aramaic, the message on that is, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. And what have we lost? Besides lives, we've lost our sense of security, our sense of safety, We've lost some trust. In Aramaic, ripe are those who feel at loose ends, coming apart at the seams. They shall be knit back together within. Blessed are those in emotional turmoil. They shall be united inside by love. Are you beginning to feel a little more sacred? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Greek, fortunate are those not arrogant or domineering, for they will have their place to stand, their place to live richly. The message is you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. In Aramaic, ripe are those who soften what is rigid inside and out. They shall be open to receive strength and power, their natural inheritance from God. Yeah, go ahead and breathe. Aren't these beautiful? It kind of gives a different spin to words that have become so familiar that they may have lost their impact. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness right now. Fortunate are those who crave and long for a good place with God. They will find it. The message is, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's the food and drink. She is the food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. In Aramaic, aligned with the one are those who wake up at night, weakened and dried out inside by the unnatural state of the world. They shall receive satisfaction. You want to hear that one again?
Yes.
I need to say it again. Aligned with the one are those who wake up at night, weakened and dried out inside by the unnatural state of the world. They shall receive satisfaction. Let these be words of comfort, my friends. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Greek, happy are those moved to help someone in need. They will experience and be shown the comfort they give. The message is you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. And in Aramaic, aligned with the one are the compassionate. Upon them shall be compassion. Healthy are those who extend grace. They shall find their own prayers answered. You know, sometimes we talked about forgiveness last week, like people have to earn it in order for us to do it, which is backwards. What harm does it do for us to extend grace and compassion even to those that we would curse? What harm does it do for us to do that? It only does good. It doesn't make us Pollyanna-ish. It doesn't make us weak. It makes us stronger. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in Greek, fortunate are those whose innermost passions and desires are free from anything that is false. God will appear to them. And in Aramaic, healthy are those whose passion is electrified by deep abiding purpose. They shall regard the power that moves and shows itself in all things. Healed are those who have the courage and audacity to feel abundant inside. They shall envision the furthest extent of life's wealth. There's a prosperity lesson right there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. And in Greek, enriched are those who author and celebrate peace, for they will be called students of God, like children, those who learn at his feet. In Aramaic, I love this so much. Healed are those who bear the fruit of sympathy and safety for all, for they shall hasten the coming of God's new creation. And last, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Greek, happy are those pursuing on account of purity and rightness, for the reign of God is the same as this. In Aramaic, happy and right on time are those who draw shame for their pursuit of peace between all the conflicting voices. They realize their part in the vision that rules all creation. Healing to those who have been shattered from within, from seeking perfect rest, holding them to life is heaven's I can. Tuned to the source are those persecuted, and you can take that word whichever way you want to. It may be somebody looking down their nose at you. I'm sorry, that was over my glasses at you. It could be a family member that disagrees with you, tries to shame you for your beliefs. It could be yourself. Tuned to the source are those persecuted for trying to right society's balance. To them belongs the coming kingdom and queendom. So take what it is that you're feeling today and have been feeling and transmute it. Transmute is an alchemical word. Transmute it into something that can do good, that can stand for righteousness, that can be humble and compassionate and grateful, that can be moved by passion to do that which is next and right. Take that and use it. My friends, we're in some pretty uncomfortable labor contractions for the birthing of humanity. It's not much fun. It is not much fun. But doesn't it call us? Doesn't it contain in it the promise of something better, of something new? And we're the placeholders for that. We're the stakeholders in it. What we do in consciousness and what we do with our hands and our feet and our funds is so vital right now. This is a lesson that I would teach with a little less passion and specificity. I got that word out. So happy. If we weren't in such a time of heartbreak, I would say this. It would just be a little softer. I get emails for the last 4 years from a student organization called March for Our Lives. And just over 4 years ago, when I first started my position here at Unity of Wimberley, I marched with Janet Stanley and Tony Harris. And Jan, I don't remember who else was with us. But I met Mimi. She was there with CAPS School here in Wimberley. And we marched with the students for their safety. Sorry, what did you say, Jan?
Oh, I just said, I know there was somebody else. But
yeah, I can't think of who it is either. And this was after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school shooting in Florida. And so we marched with those students in solidarity. We marched with them to say, we've got you. As adults, we've got you. We will do everything we can to make the world safe for you so that you don't have to have marches like this. And yet here we are. And so June 11th, This is Jill, the private citizen, not Jill, the minister. Yeah, it's that too. Who am I kidding? I'm marching on June 11th again with March for Our Lives in downtown Austin. And I sent them some money. I can do that. I can march with those kids. I can go to the polling place. I can support those causes that I believe in. And I gotta say, all politics aside, who doesn't want to support our children feeling safer in their schools? Amen. We can't dismiss it and say, oh, they'll be all right. Not all right. Even if it hasn't touched their school, they're worried. How's Finn doing? Ford.
I'm doing not so good.
Dad is not doing as well as child. But of course. So today, we're going to have a little memorial service. For those of you that are joining us from out of state, Uvalde is about a 2.5-hour drive from this church. In Texas terms, that's a day trip. In other states, you can be in another 2 states over. But here in Texas, that's just down the road. And so it seems that proximity hurts a little worse. So we're going to have a little memorial service. You'll see that we have candles here lit. And so today, we pray that Salvador Ramos finds peace and reconciliation for his soul. And today, we remember, if you would, let's go ahead and bring the lights down. Alexandria, Lexi, Anaya, Rubio. Alethea Ramirez. Amari Joe Garza. Annabelle Guadalupe Rodriguez. Eliana Ellie Cruz Torres. Eliana Ellie Garcia. Eva Mireles, teacher. Irma Garcia, teacher. And her husband, Jose, who died the next day from a broken heart. Jackie Casares. Jayla Nicole Silguero. Jace Luevanos. Jose Flores, Layla Salazar, McKenna Lee Elrod, Maite Rodriguez, Miranda Mathis, Nevea Bravo, Rogelio Torres, Tess Marie Mata. Uzziah Garcia. Xavier Javier Lopez. for all the children of the world. We hold them in the palms of our hands. And what we might not be able to do physically, we do with our hearts. That their bodies, minds, and spirits might know peace. We forget not the people of Ukraine and their ongoing suffering. We remember the citizens of Buffalo, New York, who lost their safety and their lives. In Great Spirit, we name these because they are the most recent. Nevertheless, we hold all the others who have suffered death by violence, who do not know safety in their homes, their towns, their cities, their public places. And for those whose minds have led them into the dark place of division and violence and segregation from other human beings, our prayer today is enlightenment upon all. We can hardly pray for one without praying for all. This is the hard, important, and rewarding work of spirit. When our hearts break open, it lets more light in and it lets more light out. And so we do not turn away from our heartbreak. We embrace it. We heal it. We transmute it. And we live our lives. As the truest divine humans that we can be. We forgive ourselves for the places in which we have turned away from others, in which we have lived less than our potential. Divine Spirit, we affirm now that we are guided in whatever action, prayer, and thought is next for us to bring about peace in our world, peace in our country, peace in this state, and peace in our towns and cities, peace in our homes, peace in our hearts. We claim that guidance and we give thanks in advance for the everlasting Spirit that inspires and enlivens us, that makes us new again, that leads us through the pains of birthing this new vision. Thank you, God, for that. The great prayer ends with, "And yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." And these words are true. No matter what that God looks like, no matter what religion it is honored from, no matter how it appears in the world, we honor that great cosmic spirit that holds only good. So strengthen our bones. And let that strength manifest and express through and from us. And beloved, will you breathe yet again? The deep breath that needs to be inhaled and exhaled. And will you say with me, amen. Amen. Thank you.